The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Like Bob on Facebook at facebook.com/BobBurneyLive.
I mentioned this just a little bit earlier. This documentary, No Safe Spaces, put out by Dennis Prager and Adam Carolla. You know, I keep telling you that the liberal left doesn't want you to see it. Netflix has banned it. Amazon Prime has banned it. But get this. Walmart now has chosen not to sell it. Walmart! Seriously? Yeah, Walmart has chosen not to sell it. Now keep this in mind. Walmart typically carries political films by Michael Moore. Can you think of anyone farther to the left than Michael Moore? They carry other liberal filmmakers in their stores, but not No Safe Spaces. Here is a quote from the folks at Walmart. This is what they told Newsweek magazine, and I quote, "Walmart works hard to meet the needs of its customers by providing a broad assortment of products to choose from. The DVDs sold in our stores and Walmart.com are based off data-driven customer insights, and the content does not reflect the views of Walmart or its associates." Now, what they are saying is it didn't make enough money in the theaters. Now, that's what they're saying. They're saying the reason they're not going to carry it is it didn't make enough money in the movie theaters. Well, the reason it didn't make enough money in the movie theaters is because it was so short run. It made $1.3 million in the movie theaters, and that is, you know, I mean, that is nothing almost, but it's because very, very few movie theaters would air it, would show it. So Walmart becomes the latest in a long list of outlets who are saying, man, you don't need to see this movie. Interesting, isn't it? Yeah, interesting. Hey, I just got to mention this again real quickly. I hope and pray we can set free at least one or two more slaves. $250 sets a slave free because of the Underground Railroad, if you will, that Christian Solidarity International has set up in Sudan. Now, slavery came back into existence in Sudan in the 1980s, and thousands of people were captured in South Sudan, transferred to the North as slaves. Just as much as slaves were captured in Africa in the 1600s, 1700s, and were transported to America and other places around the world. The same thing. Then they were taken to the north of Sudan, and they were sold to Arab Muslim landowners as slaves, as property. In 2005, a peace accord was signed uniting North and South Sudan. It was brokered by the United Nations and partially through the United States, and slavery ended, at least the procurement of new slaves ended. But that peace accord signed in 2005 did nothing. Zero, zip, zilch, nada. It did nothing to set the slaves free who were already in slavery in the North. And they have been basically forgotten by the world. The United Nations sadly, even the United States. But they have not been forgotten by Christian Solidarity International. And I won't go into all the details because I don't want to take time, as I did last week. For $250, Christian Solidarity International can negotiate the freedom of that slave. That slave then is transported through an underground railroad to South Sudan, and there they are given everything they need for a brand new beginning. They're given a tent. They're given some supplies to plant crops so they can be self-sustaining. They're given a goat. It's everything they need for $250. And you precious folks, you folks have freed over 40 slaves. Our goal was 34. You have freed over 40. I'd like to see us go at least 1, 2, 3 more. Here's the number, 888-253-3522. Give what you can. If you can't give $250 to set one slave free, give 25 or 50 or 100. But be a part. 888-253-3522. 888-253-3522. This is sad. We know that America passed the 100,000 mark for people who have died from COVID-19. Now, I want to say very quickly, we have no idea how accurate that is, and there's an enormous amount of evidence that it's not real accurate. We know that at least a few thousand people were declared to have died from COVID-19, and that was not the cause of death. They had COVID-19 when they died, but that was not the cause of death, and we've talked about that before. But the official number from the CDC is slightly over 100,000. But get this. Of those 100,000, 26,000, one-fourth have been residents of nursing homes. One-fourth of all the people who have died with or from COVID-19 have been in nursing homes. And Ohio, sadly, unfortunately, has the third highest percentage. Nationally, it's 25%. Here in Ohio, it's somewhere between 70 and 79%. I've seen both figures. I don't know which one to trust. But we know that it's over 70% of all the people who have died here in Ohio have been residents of nursing homes. Ohio has done horrible in protecting our senior citizens and people in nursing homes. We've done a very, very, very poor job. I'm not blaming the governor. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just giving you the facts. Ohio has been known nationally for flattening the curve and so on. Well, that's good. But our record as far as nursing homes, we're number 3 in the country of the worst record. When you take the deaths here in Ohio, please remember, over 70% of all those deaths here in Ohio have occurred in nursing homes. And the overwhelming majority of the new cases being reported here in Ohio are nursing homes. When you go to the COVID-19 dashboard at the Ohio Department of Health, and I encourage you to go there. I try to go there every day. And, I mean, it's all good news. Not only have we flattened the curve, we are on the decline down. And here's the fascinating thing. From everything I have read, the faster we open up, the quicker we are getting a handle on this COVID-19. We were told if we open up too quickly, oh, it's going to be terrible. There's going to be a surge. There's going to be a spike. People are going to die. It has turned about to be exactly the opposite. The more we open up, the more we release people, the more we lift restrictions, the better we are. Which gives you serious pause about, was it all necessary? And I don't know. Yeah, I don't pretend to know. I don't know. But sure makes you question. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. My number, 877-BOB-LIVE.
Follow Bob on Twitter at twitter.com/BobBurneyLive.
One more thing about the riots and the COVID-19. Just one more thing. And you, in fact, I'm almost positive you've already thought of this because you are LTDs. Do you remember just 2 weeks ago? Chicago was threatening churches. If you have more than 10 people together, we're going to put you in jail. We're going to fine you. Remember that? Just 2 weeks ago, New York City Mayor de Blasio said, if you meet in person in church, if you have more than 10 people together, we could shut down your church permanently. California, just 2 weeks ago, if you meet in church, we're going to fine you. Because in California, it wasn't just 10 or less. In California, it was you can't meet together at all. Do you remember in New York City, it was about 3 weeks ago, there were a bunch of Jews who got together for a funeral. And Mayor de Blasio called the police to break up the funeral because they were not practicing social distancing and they could spread the virus. Do you remember those things? Do you remember the church in Kentucky that was threatened by the liberal left mayor of Louisville, Kentucky? If you meet together in person, we're going to fine you. We could put you in jail. Do you remember down in Mississippi, the liberal left Democratic mayor told a little church, if you have a drive-in service, we're going to fine you. Remember that? Can't go to church, can't go to church, can't go to church, can't meet together. No, 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 no. You are terrible. You're evil. You remember? It was de Blasio who said, if you insist on meeting together as a church, you are selfish. And you are proving to the world you don't care about other people. You are selfish, you bunch of Christians who want to get together. Have you noticed the protests? Social distancing? Are you kidding me? Social distancing? Have you seen the pictures? Now, some have been wearing masks. There's no doubt about that. But isn't it strangely ironic? The mayor of Chicago, now get this, Mayor Lightfoot in Chicago yesterday told police, and somewhere down in the stack I got the quote. I don't have time to find it. But the same mayor of Chicago who threatened churches, if you get together, we're going to fine you. You better not have more than 10 people. The same mayor of Chicago who warned Christians, you better not get together. We're going to take care of you. That same liberal, leftist, Democratic mayor instructed Chicago police, don't break up the groups. Don't break up the protesters. Just wait for them to disperse by themselves. Do not intervene. Do not go in. No tear gas. Just let them disperse on their own. Why? Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? Because they have a constitutional right to freedom of assembly. Oh, that's what Mayor de Blasio said. Yeah, the protesters have a constitutional right. And by the way, they do. I'm not disagreeing with that at all. But isn't it absolutely ironically fascinating that the protesters and the looters, and by the way, they're not the same. I am for peaceful protest. That's okay. That's part of American history. Looting, destroy. No. That's totally different. But isn't it fascinating that these liberal leftist mayors, governors are absolutely determined to protect the constitutional rights of protesters, as they should, by the way. But when it comes to Christians and churches, no. And even the Supreme Court of the United States sided with Governor Newsom in California that said, even if you're a church, you don't have a constitutional right to assemble because we got a dangerous virus going on. And for the good of public health, we can suspend your constitutional rights. And in a 5-4 decision, the Supreme Court of the United States of America, with John Roberts casting the deciding vote, and that same Governor Newsom is saying, now these protesters have we're not going to tell them to social distance. We're going to suggest that they wear masks. That would be good. And the mayor of Minneapolis, by the way, passed out masks to the protesters up there. But I just find it absolutely bizarre that protesters need to have their constitutional rights protected. And once again, let me say, I agree. There's no constitutional right to riot and loot and steal and hurt and injure. No. A right to protest? Absolutely. But these leftist governmental leaders are adamant that we protect the constitutional rights of protesters. Even if many of the protests have turned into full-blown riots and people have been murdered, like that black retired cop in St. Louis, shot, black man, defending a friend's pawn shop. He wasn't even being paid. He did it as a volunteer. Murdered in cold blood. The inconsistency and hypocrisy is just enormous. All right, hey, when we come back, we'll be visiting with Dr. Robert Jeffress from Dallas, Texas. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.